As one thing is for sure, though, the Democrats are shatting in their pantaloons right now.
Yeah, I want to take your pill.
I want to drown in titties.
She's fantastic.
Welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. I am very, very stoked to have you in the mix for episode 185 of the show. If you want to reach out, you can do so via email. We have some great emails this week, and I would like you to get in the rotation. We get a lot of the same really good people. So if you're a listener, we have many, many more listeners than we do emailers, and you want to have some your life coached up, you maybe have some questions about something that you see in the world, you would like us to reflect on that same thing, you can send us an email. The email address is mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Additionally, you can call us and leave us a voicemail. 949-464-TBLS is the number there. Little higher degree of difficulty, a little more intimidating, but great rewards hearing your voice on this show. So please reach out there. 949-464-TBLS. Of course, like our Facebook page, because we share stuff there that we don't necessarily talk about here. And it's a good way to have a conversation with us when we're not actually doing the show. And additionally, subscribe to the show on iTunes. I made a point in going and looking at some of our iTunes reviews and ratings. Go there and leave us a 5-star review and then say something like this guy, SoCal Chris P, did. If you're smart, you'll subscribe. This podcast consists of comedy, sports, and celeb news for the non-basic community. That's right. Just straight to the point. We don't cater to basics here. Top shelf. Brian and Ed's chemistry works perfectly as they discuss current events, guy issues, and male anatomy. I laugh approximately 7 times throughout the course of each episode. Good stuff. You're hedging a little bit there, huh? Big P World? 7 times. That's it? This show's an hour. I feel like you're laughing more than that. You maybe need to get one of those little counters. The doorman counter. And click it every time you laugh because it's way more than 7. And finally, this is from user since March. Psychological nudity and amazing takes. And he spells takes T-A-Q-U-E-S, which is amazing in itself. TBLS is the very best listen for discussions about entertainment, primarily sports and TV movies. You will laugh constantly as the hosts analyze and expose the flaws and awesomeness of current events and movies and TV shows of the past. TBLS is for adults who can handle psychological nudity and takes that will keep you. Okay, you get it. That's a very, very good review. Thank you for that, user since March. I appreciate everybody that goes the extra mile and rates the show on iTunes because it does a lot for our profile. So continue to do that. And of course, Patreon. We had a recent guest co-host, Mark the Nomad. He said something and I couldn't really quarrel with it because he was right. He said something, and I'm paraphrasing, that the technical aspect of the show is, quote, not my strong suit. And I think he even like threw in an obviously. I think it was like he made it seem like it's very plain to everyone that this and it's not my strength as a broadcaster is the technical side of the show, which is would be fucked up, except it's pretty true. And along those lines, we recorded some bonus content last week for our Patreon page. And me as host and engineer of the show, I kind of failed on as the engineer portion in that task because somehow we did some hilarious bonus content and Ed and I were really, really funny, but there would be long spaces where there would be nothing happening in the audio. And that was the part where Fancy Sauce was talking because for some reason, her mic, even though everything was set up perfectly, her mic didn't record. So it was just two-thirds of a three-part conversation. So I fucked that up, and I'm sorry. But we'll have more Patreon bonus content for people that subscribe there, patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. We will have something for you there this week. Asterisk. Unless I do something to fuck it up. So joining me now, as always, of course, it's Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. We opened the show last week with talk of Houston, and there were some overdue things to talk about. So an overdue RIP to a great on Twitter, Cornlog.
Oh, my God. The Houston thing that kind of knocked Cornlog off the front page for us. Huge mistake on my part. Because
I wrote it down last week, and then it's like we launch into the important subject of the day. But like Cornlog, you know, it's one of these things that I feel like I got on Twitter, and within like a couple days, Patton Oswalt, like, and followed like a few people, funny people I had known, and Patton Oswalt had retweeted this guy, and I followed him like right away, and he was just awesome. And then, you know, I heard, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago he died. It's a real bummer, but he was great. I tried to find just some tweets that I liked of his, like, just, but only recently. I mean, he's been doing this for years, but I don't know how he knew this, but my son said human flesh tastes like pork, and I felt a new emotion later identified as pride.
I have a similar experience with Cornlog, by far my all-time favorite Twitter personality, and it's not even close. No one ever made me laugh as hard as this guy, and it was kind of the same for me. I joined Twitter back in, like, I don't know, 09 or whatever, whenever, 2010, and I didn't really know what it was. Like, I had heard, like, hosts on radio shows I listened to be like, oh, get on Twitter, or, you know, here's our Twitter handle, check us out on Twitter, whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's a way to communicate with these guys that I listen to. Maybe I'll do that. So I signed up. And I remember back then everybody's like, oh, you got to follow Shaq. Like, Shaq is so funny. Yeah. And he had like the most followers. And it's like, go see what Shaq, he's so crazy. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, I remember I was on Twitter, and I didn't see really what the point was. And so I just never went back on it. And then I did come back on it, and I'm not sure how I came to find Cornlog. But I did, and he was so filthy and hilarious, and I'm like, oh, no, this is the reason that this website exists. It doesn't exist for the reasons I thought. It exists for people, regular people, to come on and just be completely fucking hilarious. And no one was better at that than Cornlog. He was just so fucking funny, literally every time. The guy never missed. And he was a young guy, and he was a guy with a family and children, and it's a terrible, terrible tragedy that he is no longer with us, but I cannot say enough about the legacy that he left on Twitter.
Go on his page, and you'll see it. Like, I'm looking at this one. There's an argument to be made that I should change my initial OKCupid message from, I want to destroy your doo-doo hole. The dude was just funny. He was just like really out there, and he was great. He was always great. So he's
super funny. RIP. Thank you for remembering that, Ed. What else is going on?
Another overdue hero shout out to another guy. We'll use his Twitter name because I don't know if he wants his real name, but our pal Cock Shittington. We talk about these great stories in Houston, and we're friends with him on Facebook.
Yep.
The dude is like an actual hero. He said, hey, we're dry and have electricity in Houston. Like, please share this message with your friends. You know, we're a safe drive spot. We can help you out. I've got, you know, kayaks or whatever. Like, he's the type of person that needs a salute.
He's a great dude. I've had occasion to meet him a couple of times, and he is just the real deal, a real human being, salt of the earth. Veteran, just great, great fucking guy. And I've seen all that he's been doing. A lot of people that I'm friends with in Houston have been doing to help people out. And it's just amazing and inspiring. And I just love all you guys. So good looking out, Cock Shittington. Great dude.
Yeah. And overdue, fuck you, to the super, super sleazy Joel Osteen.
Oh, yes.
He's the best. That guy and his fucking Houston Rockets arena-sized church.
Yes.
And in like, and I read like a few days after the controversy, he like takes out a collection plate so the people in the parish can donate to the thing. It's like, hey, buddy, you're sitting in the Rockets old arena. You can do the donating. You could do all this shit.
No, he did. And, he finally took in refugees from the storm, and then he did a sermon for them, and then passed the collection plate around
to the
displaced people that were sleeping on fucking cots in his church.
Oh, I didn't even read that much. I just saw that he was taking collections. I was like, fuck him. He doesn't need to be taking. Oh, so he's taking it from people who are displaced. And like, I saw one headline. It's like, hey, some people are going to lash out against Christians like us, and we'll just have to fight through it through kindness. And it's like, kindness? You didn't, like, your first argument was somebody didn't tell me to open the doors. Like, fuck right. You. Yes. That guy can go fuck himself in his fucking tax exempt status. Get Cockshittington tax exempt status. And then totally we'll talk agree. About fucking Joel Osteen.
Totally agree.
And remember, like, when we were kids, yeah, it was these preachers, and I thought like Nazis, I thought we were kind of
getting
done with them, like with Jerry Falwell and Swaggart and Baker, and they were all kind of like fading. And then for some reason they're just back, and this fucking asshole is just rolling in dough while people struggle.
Well, they've tightened up their game a little bit. Like, they're not offering miracles like they used to, but they're a little more straightforward, where they're just like, hey, like, remember we talked about that guy, Creflo Dollar? I think he's an Atlanta mega church guy. He's like, the Lord wants me to have a jet.
Wants a jet.
I need, Creflo. And not a shitty one, not a G4. I need one better than that. So I need a G5. So you guys got to give me some money because it's the only way I can preach. I do like Joel Osteen because his whole thing is prosperity gospel. So he gets up there every week, and it's like almost, he's more like a motivational, he's kind of like a Tony Robbins type.
Okay.
Where it's like, he doesn't really preach the gospel so much as he gets up there and he might refer to a passage and he'll be like, Jesus wants you to be rich. He wants you to have success. Go out there, and it's all just like trying to get you pumped up about yourself. If there is something out there for you, go out and take it. And it's like basically.
Oh, so it is like Tony Robbins.
It's
bullshit.
Just exactly a Tony Robbins thing, but he's tweaked it and thrown a little fucking Jesus angle on it. And he's got the hair gel and his teeth are real shiny.
He looks real greasy.
Yeah. Greasy as fuck. Fuck him. Fuck. I mean, churches and their tax exempt status. You know,
yeah, like, it's the same as when we were watching Going Clear, right? Yeah. I mean, it's the same shit.
They're making money. They're making tons and tons
fucking
of
just
money.
Racket. Any church that operates out of the fucking Rockets old arena.
Yeah,
what is that?
Yes, the Summit.
And I remember in college when I was like going through Italy and stopped in the Vatican City. And it's like, oh my God, like everything's lined in gold.
Gold.
What? What's the functional reason for this gold faucet?
Yeah, they're rich as fuck. All Scientology does is buy buildings. They just own real estate, empty buildings, just to spread their wealth around. Yeah. It's bullshit.
It's a racket.
It's a bad play.
And what this Houston stuff has taught us is that, like, you know, people just, they step up when
totally.
When they're faced with this kind of tragedy or just, you know, others' hardships. Like, I think people overall, and certainly not everybody, but overall, I think people are good. And, like, it's easy to compartmentalize and not, like, look at suffering, you know, when there's suffering in other continents and stuff. It's easy to just kind of move on with your day. But when it's your city or your town, or, you know, hopefully people feel this way when it's your country, like, you got to step up, and people do. And this, you know, shitbird who wouldn't open his doors because nobody told him to, he can go fuck himself.
Joel Osteen, who preaches the word, kept his doors closed. Meanwhile,
I didn't even know it was Osteen. I thought it was Osteen.
Osteen, yeah. Meanwhile, Cockshittington, opened his fucking doors right up.
Did somebody like from the government tell him to open his doors?
No, he didn't wait. He didn't
Goddamn
wait.
Hero.
He's like, bring your animals over here. We live on a hill.
I would tune in if, like, every Sunday morning there was a program and it said, you know, Sunday Mornings with Cox Shittington.
Totally. That's something I would listen to. That's something that would interest me. Amazing. Okay, is there anything else? I'm trying to think if I have anything to share. I don't think I do.
No. I mean, I bag on the guy a lot. I gotta hand it to J.J. Watt. Fucking dude has gotten shit done.
I was going to bring that up. $20 million it's up to.
I mean, that's pretty much, there's no awards that are locked down before the season starts.
No.
Except for the NFL Man of the Year.
It's got to be.
Walter Payton, man. Like, he's got it. He could probably, you know, beat up 18 different hookers. Probably male totally. Prostitutes. Oh, and he'd be
course,
all right.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. He could get into a...
Definitely a few DUIs.
He could be caught in flagrante delicto at a, you know, at a rest stop.
At a Kentucky massage parlor.
Yeah. Like hanging around a port area, a harbor type.
Under the pier.
Spot. Yes, exactly. Like any, like... parks, like certain parks he might end up in.
He could be in that place where the dad from Alf showed up.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And it wouldn't matter because he's done great, great things quickly and effectively and with no bullshit. So we have made fun of J.J. Watt quite a bit on this show, but
we do
not right now. That's amazing what he's done. Okay, let's do some email. Here's a quick one from Adam Ansel. He's just describing, this came in right after the show last week, so we recorded early last week, so I wasn't able to get it on, but he's just talking about what's going on with the storm in Houston. Guys, fancy, this shit is serious. A buddy and me went kayaking through a neighborhood called Mission Bend to try to help people. Parentheses, not a humble brag. The neighborhood is completely submerged, as is everything around it. I've never seen anything like this. I was literally able to kayak up to people's doorsteps. This Adam owns a battery shop in Houston, and he wants everybody to know that they're selling car and generator batteries at costs at Republic Battery. If anyone is in need, everyone be safe and pray for Houston. This shit is real. That's from Adam Ansel. Good looking Good man. Out, Adam.
Adam to the heroes list.
Yes, absolutely. Totally.
And yes. What one thing, and not, yeah, I mean, fuck, people get so touchy when you try to bring up anything remotely political, but this is the thing, like, you've got to keep this in mind, because every time a tragedy happens, they wait till it's in the rearview mirror, and then it's like, all right, well, we won't vote that way. We won't, right. Like, this is the shit you've got to, like, keep, like, holding on to, because there were people voting down Katrina relief.
Of course.
Like Mike Pence, he
oh yeah,
he made a big plea: don't bankrupt our grandchildren to help out the people in New Orleans.
Yeah, like, he used a Bible verse.
Ted Cruz, he's talked cunt. About Sandy. Well, he's a cunt, but still, he voted against Sandy. Like, these guys, they let it go enough in the rearview mirror, and like every political issue, and it's like you need to help people.
Yeah.
People need fucking help, and it's not a choice that people's homes were wiped out. And I heard a crazy stat that like maybe a third or a quarter of the houses that were wiped out had flood insurance. Like, right. People are fucked and they need help, and they need, this is what FEMA and different, you know, relief money is for. And like, fuck, you know.
Oh, even people with insurance. Remember Katrina? After Katrina, the people with flood insurance, the flood insurers are like, oh, no, 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 no. It wasn't the flood. It was the wind that fucked you up.
Oh, right,
you
right,
got,
right.
You got
right.
destroyed by wind. We don't insure wind. We insure floods. The floods came because of the wind, and it was back and forth. The insurance company's not running to help pay out. That's not their business plan. They're looking to pay as little as possible. And, that's just...
But this is the point of having a government where you need to have this whatever, quote, rainy day fund or whatever. You need to have this type
of
shit,
because
this will always happen. But like, it will always happen. It might happen by the time this podcast,
yes. Well, there's another, like, there's a big ass hurricane bearing down on Florida as we speak. Irma. That we might have to deal with.
I used to work with an Irma.
Oh yeah. Bigger pleasant. Woman. Yeah. Yeah.
Not pleasant.
I can see that. No, like super hot, skinny chick with big boobs has ever been called Irma.
As far as I know. She was calling in the orders at the pizza place I worked at.
Apologies if any of your mothers or wives are named Irma. I'm sure they're beautiful.
Yeah.
So I'm just general.
There's an exception to every rule.
Of course. Okay. Some emails. Hey, B, as a fanny pack expert, I figured I'd ask you. I just got this sweet new fanny pack that looks like the WWE Championship belt. Which is worse for my look, the fanny pack or admitting I still watch wrestling? Regards, Francis and Glendale, heterosexual. Well, obviously, the wrestling, being an adult that watches wrestling, is the worst thing you could be.
No.
That's worse. That's much, much worse. Fanny packs are cool. Utilitarian. You put your shit in them. You put all your shit in the fanny pack. Then you don't have to worry about. And yeah, go ahead.
For the functional purpose bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Guess
Very
what?
Functional.
Everything a guy needs can fit in his pockets. I mean, unless you're a serial killer who travels without pockets in your pants or shorts or whatever the fuck you're wearing, you don't need a fanny pack. It's excessive.
It helps.
No. Wearing a fanny pack is like having a parrot on your shoulder or a snake around your neck. It's a move of somebody dying to get noticed. So, I mean,
how dare you?
You're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic if you're wearing it a championship belt fanny pack. It's the same bullshit. And like, everybody's into weird shit. People, I mean, the show Ballers is on TV.
Oh,
like, people,
it's so bad.
But people watch it. People watch wrestling.
Me are like, those people.
Yeah. So you watch that and he watches wrestling. It's the same goddamn thing. I'm not going to say I watch nothing that's frivolous. Like, I cannot for the life of me understand anything about professional wrestling.
Me either.
I don't understand any appeal, but I don't understand the appeal of Ballers or any reality show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's everybody's got the weird shit. Last night, I couldn't get to sleep, flipping around. I watched a few minutes of an Elvis movie and I enjoyed the hell out of
it.
It was Viva Las Vegas and Margaret in her prime.
Oh, so hot. This is an all-time classic.
But, I mean, it was ridiculously embarrassing to watch, but I watched it.
Well, what passed for entertainment back then was just not.
Yeah, but this was 2017. This was last night and I watched
it. That's true. That is a problem. I do have a question, though. It says, that looks like the WWE Championship belt. Is there, like, just one? Is it, like... Does it always look the same? Because I don't know.
Do they have different governing bodies like in boxing?
Right. Like, don't they make a new one for whoever? Because, like, if you win it, then it's yours. Do you have to give it to the other guy if you lose it?
I mean, that's the same with the IBF belt. I'm sure that they don't give it back.
Own. Yeah, they keep their own. I also have, remember when people were watching, poker on TV for some reason.
That was a really ugly trend.
That was really like what every
you're,
time
you're you, in a bar and you're staring at people staring at cards. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Every time you turn on ESPN, they'd be like, oh, poker, the World Series of
Phil
Poker.
Phil Ivey.
Yeah, Phil Ivey. And I don't know if I've recommended it on this show, but anybody that hasn't listened to the 30 for 30 podcast about Phil Ivey.
Fucking robbed. He's a crook.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, 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 no.
Yes.
No, no.
Employing that bitter Chinese.
Well, it's her. She had the plan.
Yeah. Well, if somebody said, I've got a plan to rob a bank, you don't go along with it.
He didn't. No.
I listened to it. He's a bad dude.
He just changed the odds of the game. He didn't do anything illegal. He just asked for things and they gave it to him.
Okay.
That's their fault.
No.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
All right, illegal. All right, immoral.
It wasn't illegal.
Immoral.
Well, gambling is immoral.
Nah.
The casino having an inherent advantage is immoral.
I'm not shedding tears for the casino, but
yes,
cheating. He was cheating. You know what he's doing? He was doing the type of move like Bill Belichick will do until they change the rules. It's like it leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
I mean,
like it's not in the spirit of the game you're playing.
But is the house's inherent advantage in the spirit? Like, you walk in, and if you play long enough, you're for sure going to lose.
That's why you're only supposed to gamble every once in a blue moon.
So the game is waited for them. But if you go in and you go, hey, I noticed something here that can change the odds to my favor. I guess I won't maximize the odds for me, because Ed Daly thinks it's immoral.
No? Don't do it for me, but just know that, like, yourself. I don't like a person like Phil Ivey.
Well, I don't like it. Yeah, gamblers are very slimy. I would agree with that.
He's a slimy, sleazy dude.
But I don't think I don't think he should have to pay back any money to any casinos just because he
looked at the cards and knew what they were.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, that's their business. But that's business.
But that's what I don't care about the paying back. But like,
yes,
fuck him. Well,
I agree.
You know, like,
yeah,
then blackball.
Yeah, if they don't want to let him gamble there, that's fine. That's their problem.
No, I don't. Because they got taken. Yes. I'm fine with them losing.
Yeah, good. Fuck them.
But I don't like him either.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we can agree on that. Oh, but my whole point was, first of all, listen to that podcast. It's very good. 30 for 30 podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And I think I read an article like in the Guardian.
Oh, that prison boxing one? That was good.
Oh, no. I didn't hear that one.
They talked about a pro fight in a prison.
My question was this, is that you would turn on this this World Series of Poker and they'd be like, this guy has, you don't get a belt, you get a bracelet. And they go, this guy has like 14 bracelets. And I'd be like, wait, well, don't they only give out one a year? Like how many years has this been going on that every single guy, this guy's got 8, this guy's got 11 bracelets, this guy's got 4 bracelets. And I'm like, well, at the end, they only give out one. Like how could one guy have so many? And my guess is that there's,
I think if you get there's to the different final events. Table.
Oh. Well, I think it's kind of like the Olympics where there's like, yeah, he didn't win the one that's on TV, but he won some other one, like stud.
Or the award shows where they have the technical awards.
Right. Yes, daytime Emmys. Like, yeah, he's got those, but it was in the daytime.
Right, your local anchor has 19 daytime Emmys. And you're like, what?
Exactly. Okay, we continue. Hello, Brian, Ed, and Kate. This weekend, we were subject to all the dumb baseball player nicknames for MLB Players Weekend. Oh, I didn't know about this. Some lowlights from my LA Dodgers were Logan Forsyth and Ross Stripling going with Logie Bear and Chicken Strip. In TBLS episode 182, you reviewed the nicknames Tug McGraw and the Big Unit. While we all know baseball players are stupid, I contend that these two nicknames are possibly thinly veiled insults at the subjects. Tug McGraw was likely a chronic masturbator who was caught so many times that it became his identity. Well, that's pretty much what I said. And Randy Johnson was a well-known asshole during his career. I'm sure that extended to his teammates who basically found a way to call him a dickhead to his face. Hence the Big Unit moniker. I don't know how that means that equals dickhead, though. I mean, I'm pretty
big
sure.
Big dick.
Yeah,
he's just, a big
Oh, he's
dick.
A big dick. Okay, right. Thanks for the time. That's from Pareda 44. Yeah, I don't disagree. It's always the simplest answer. Like, if the guy's called Tug, it means he jerks off a lot. It's just, until you tell me another reason that makes sense, it's because he likes to masturbate quite a bit. R.I.P. Tug McGraw, by the way.
I watched games that weekend, last weekend, when they had the nicknames, and two things stood out. One, like, I saw, because it was in New York, there was some buzz that, like, one of the guys on the team, I want to say, like, Brett Gardner, one of the guys is like,
hold on, not the Yankees.
Yes.
All right.
Not the tradition of the Yankees. We've never had names on our backs. I would prefer to go without a name. When every other guy in Major League Baseball puts it on, it's like, all right, you can go fuck yourself, Brett Gardner. He tried to petition the leagues. Like, no, we agreed with the players' union. They could have one fun weekend with. Like, I thought it was kind of douchey, but like, whatever. Yeah. Who cares? And then the worst nickname. I mean, there were some bad ones. The worst one was Aaron Judge's, because he put All Rise on the back, and it's like, that's like a Berman nickname. Like, that's
Aaron. It's not All like Rise people. Judge,
like, people don't go, hey, All Rise, go All Rise. Like, I get it's a play on Judge, but like, it's not a nickname. It's just like something like, you know, like a New York paper would write after he hits the game winning homer. Yeah. Like, it's fucking terrible.
Well, and like, you shouldn't be allowed.
And I'm
to
watching make it, a I'm watching a Yankee Oriole game right now, and there's like a whole bunch of people in Judge's costumes, like sitting there cheering for him. Like, it's really bad.
Do they wear the wigs?
Yes.
Oh no.
And the guy has had a great year and all, but
not since the All-Star break.
Yeah, I know, but he still has a, like, his body of work is pretty fucking impressive for a rookie.
You shouldn't be allowed to nickname yourself. So if they go, hey, we're doing nickname weekend.
Yeah, your teammates.
Yeah, your teammates, or they should be like, give us like the email addresses of five guys you went to high school with. Or from your fraternity or something. So they can get the real info.
Here was a real red flag for Shaq. Remember, he used to just constantly, oh, I'm the big Aristotle. Yes. And people are like, oh, big Aristotle. And it's like, based on what? You're a fucking idiot.
Diesel.
No.
Shaq Daddy, like, Diesel.
People can name you. You don't name yourself the big Aristotle. Like, what?
The Lakers used to have that guy. I believe he's from New Jersey. Andrew Bynum.
And he was like one of these right out of high school bums,
and
right?
He wanted to be called the A-Train. He wanted to nickname himself the A-Train. He probably, because Kobe's a bad influence, because Kobe called himself the Black Mamba. And no one else called him that. He just made that up for himself and wanted to be called, I'm the Black Mamba. And because he's Kobe, people let him. But this Andrew Bynum, he wanted to call himself A-Train. And all the rest of the guys are like, nah. They're like, you wear your socks in the shower because you think that's going to keep you from getting athlete's foot. So your name is Socks. Yeah.
Yeah. Socks. People should name you. That's why it's always great when you get the giant guy who's slim.
Yeah.
And
yes, that's great. Yeah.
You know, like those are the good nicknames.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, one more. Ballers, please thank Ed for his book recommendation. I will monitor IMDb to find out when it will be validated by becoming a movie. I will continue to believe the book is trash until this happens, because if it isn't worth making into a movie, trash AF. Heart emoji, Paul, hashtag current epi. Paul is staunchly anti-book.
I love that stance. There's a great Jim Gaffigan line where he's like, whenever somebody says the book is better, I'm like, have you ever seen a movie? Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I agree in general, but this is like a guy, short stories about him being miserable. Like, it wouldn't work as a movie. Oh. It's fucking, and I know two listeners told me that they had bought it.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, look at you. Maybe we get a sponsorship out of this.
Oprah's book club.
Yes, totally. It's just, I mean, reading, it's, you know, it's hard for some people. Some people just, they don't get into it. I enjoy a good read. It helps me fall asleep. I like to read a little bit before I go to bed every night. Okay,
everybody, Ed, buy mine when I'm done editing this fucker.
What's that?
I'm finished with the book. I'm just editing.
Oh, yes, your history book.
Yeah, it's fucking a monster. So I need to cut it down a lot.
Oh, nice. And when? And then we're gonna shop it around. We're gonna get some meetings here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Okay, Ed. What is going on in the world of sports?
Davey's choice. It's a choice I make. Watch me shiver while you shake.
Okay, Cleveland's police union will refuse to participate in the raising of the flag during the national anthem ceremony at the Browns home opener to protest Browns players kneeling down during the anthem. Cleveland.com interviewed Cleveland Police Patrolmen's Association President Steve Loomis, and he gave the following statement. The players not standing for the national anthem is offensive because of the sacrifices that people make that allows these guys to enjoy the success they have, Loomis said. While they're benefiting from the protection of the flag, they're kneeling in disrespect of it, he said. And Brian, two things. Do you think Loomis was similarly outraged when Cleveland cops murdered an unarmed 12-year-old boy? And do you think this shit for brains Loomis understands the hypocrisy of refusing to hold a flag while others refuse to salute that flag?
Right. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
You're doing the same thing. How about we just not have anthems at games? Like, why do we do that anyway? Like, does it have to be at every game? Can we just do it at the Super Bowl?
Last year when John McCain, you know, I haven't been his biggest fan, he was like, this is all bullshit. Like, we're spending, our military spending money on all these, you know, production, on the production value before games. He's like, we need to stop spending money on the NFL that is just making insane amounts of money.
Yeah.
Like, he was right.
Buying commercials, paying for those flyovers, although I had to admit those flyovers are pretty badass.
They're awesome. Yeah. But like, our military shouldn't be helping Roger Goodell out. That guy can go fuck himself.
Yeah. Like, if you're at a game and a half dozen F-15s fly over your head a couple hundred feet above the stadium, like, it's pretty fucking bitching. But the NFL, the military pays the NFL for that privilege. They want, that's a way for them to promote themselves. And the NFL doesn't do that for free.
No.
So it's something to think about, you know, like, is it worth it?
I mean, and we've also said
you're not going to join another army, right? Like, there's only the one army that you're going to go in. So if you're thinking about doing that, I don't think you need to see a commercial where you're like,
thinking about Chile.
Canadian Army. They got that Kraft dinner up there, man. Like, soccer, baseball.
All the colored or the pencil crayons you could want.
Yes, exactly. Like, Barbados. And they make a strong case, but leaning towards the American, the U.S. Army.
And also, we've pointed out in a few different stories, but like, this guy needs to be reminded that his job is not to protect and serve people that he chooses to protect and serve. Like, he's getting a paycheck to protect and serve the public, not like the people that he thinks are doing their patriotic duty. Like,
freedom of speech, dude.
Yeah. There are people who just don't agree with you.
Yes.
But you still have to protect them.
Also, who cares? Like, I don't, it's a personal thing. Like, when I go to a game, I stand up and I take my hat off and I look at the flag. Yes. You know, that's what I do. But I don't want you telling me what to do. And I'm not going to tell you what to do. You do it however you do it.
Right. And in his case, he's not doing it now.
Yeah.
He's saying, fuck the flag.
Exactly.
Fuck the flag. You don't respect the flag.
I won't hold it. Yeah. I'll make it worse. Okay. What else is going on? Rugby, one of my favorite sports that people have to tell me that Americans don't like. Fine. I like it. I wish I could watch
more
of it.
Yeah. Don't understand all of it.
It's kind of hard to figure out sometimes. Yeah.
I like it. I like that when in the Olympics, they did the sevens and the games were like 15 minutes.
Yeah. They could play multiple games in a day.
It was great.
Yeah, it's so badass. It goes by so fast, and it's wide open. They don't, you know, like, guys go for long runs, and it's bitching.
I feel like U.S. could compete pretty quickly in a sport like that if it's only 15 minutes.
You know
we
what?
We could put field a team, right?
You know what? Our team's okay. Like, we're not okay. We compete. Like, we haven't won any major tournaments or anything. But, like, everybody's got a chance. When the World Cup comes on, yeah, like, there's certain teams are better. But the last sevens World Cup, fucking Fiji won. Fiji. What? You know, Fiji is a champion of something. Like, Fiji's got a good team. And Japan's good. Japan, somehow they got a few Samoans on the team. I don't know how they worked that out, but there's Samoans on the Japanese.
It is a sumo culture too, right?
That's true, yeah. So yeah, it's cool in that respect that, you know, like, France is good and Canada's pretty good. And, like, you know, it's these international competitions, very, very competitive, unlike that soccer thing where every game's 1-0.
Right. And if they get a lead, everybody just starts passing back and forth. Yeah,
it's 1-0. We just won't even go in their end again.
Holds it.
Okay, what's going on with rugby?
Well, Vice Australia recently interviewed a stripper from Down Under about her worst type of clients, and her answer right off the top of her head were professional rugby players. Yeah. In the interview, she accused the local team, the Chiefs, of allegedly threw gravel, exposed themselves, touched, licked, grabbed, spiked drinks, and shortchanged one of the strippers at their end of the season party. Now, Brian, why are guys still throwing money away at strip bars? Don't they realize Jack Shacks and escorts are a lot cheaper?
It's true. I don't get the appeal.
Like, you can get really good looking escorts for what you would blow in a night at one of these strip clubs.
If you're a professional rugby player in Australia,
right,
I mean, you get some top shelf ass.
Like, you're not. I guess the only thing I can think of, it always goes back to the Charlie Sheen line where he doesn't pay them to come, he pays them to leave.
Yeah, that is a good point. Right. But you can imagine, like, these guys are very privileged. You know, they're very base. They're not exactly the most developed people. They run into other dudes with their heads a lot. So that's not surprising that they would be unmanageable in a strip club environment. Speaking of strippers and porn, what's going on in Kansas City? Kansas City, good or not good? They're not good anymore, right? They won the World Series a couple years ago. No longer good.
I don't think they're terrible, though. I think they're around 500. So, 500. That means they're probably three games out of the wild card, four games
they're,
out of the wild card.
They're at 500, like 80% of the teams in the major leagues. Okay, go on.
Right. This past Sunday, Kansas City Royals pitcher Danny Duffy was arrested for drunk driving. Now, during the press conference, Royals GM Dayton Moore somehow came off the rails and started discussing a link between watching porn and domestic abuse. When Moore was asked if there were new educational protocols in place after what happened this offseason with Yordano Ventura, that was the pitcher. He was a real dick. He was a headhunting pitcher.
Oh, yes.
But where my boy Manny Machado kicked the shit out of him.
Yeah.
But I saw, was it Real Sports where like the Dominican guys, like it's like a badge of honor to never wear a seatbelt and they all drink and drive down there and it's crazy. And there's like the motor deaths are like way higher than any other country. But anyway, they asked, you know, in relation to that, and the deeply religious general manager gave a puzzling answer. We've done a lot of leadership stuff with our players, very transparent about things that will happen in our game, not only with drugs and alcohol. We talk about pornography and the effects of what it does to the minds of players and the distractions and how that leads to the abuse of domestic abuse to abuse of women, how it impacts relationships. We talk a lot about things, and I don't mind sharing with you. Now, Brian, what if you were a GM, what would be the most important way to build a major league champion? Would it be to find good pitching depth or just adding several five-tool players or lecturing the squad on pornography consumption?
Here's the thing is you – when anybody – out of nowhere brings up a topic that is not apropos of the topic being discussed. It's because they are preoccupied with that subject and they're always steering the conversation back towards that subject. So any politician that is staunchly anti-gay, for instance, they're telling you something. There's something in their psyche that makes it so they can't, they're fixated on that topic. Why would you be fixated on something? Why would you hate something so much? Unless it were inside of you. Unless it were something about you that you hated.
Yeah, he cries through porn on the road.
Yes.
Slaps himself. I'm a bad boy.
Yes, exactly. He hates himself. He really obsesses over porn. He watches it. He masturbates to it like us normal people. But then at the end, he's so sad and he has so much guilt because of the way he was raised. And when it comes time to have a discussion about something else that was potentially tragic, he has to steer it in a different direction because that's where the way his brain works. That's what's in his mind at all times.
Yeah. I know somebody not too far away from him in the organizational structure. I need to find out about this deeply religious dude.
Yeah, yes. Interesting. I mean, it's just you're really, really trying to suppress something. And when you try to suppress something, it finds ways to come out. That's all I'm saying.
I haven't worked in an office environment in a while, but like people wouldn't know like deeply religious. What would that have to do with being a GM?
Right.
Like you're talking about scouts and trades and stuff like you. This shouldn't come up.
No, it's your own thing. Keep it to yourself.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, It's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
Ed, speaking of people who weren't able to keep things suppressed, a nightclub owner was forced to shutter his bar after a staff revolt when his workers learned he had made a contribution to David Duke's failed 2016 Louisiana Senate campaign.
Wow.
And I know what you're thinking. You're like, well, you know, in Baton Rouge, this kind of shit goes on. And in Metairie, you know, it's just a different culture down there.
Yeah,
and it's,
sure.
We don't understand
the people talk like Ed Orgeron. Have you heard this guy give a press conference?
Oh yeah, it's impossible to understand.
The LSU coach, like,
he's the best.
I mean, it's insane that somebody actually talks like that.
Yeah, he was the when he was assistant at USC, they had to keep him. They had to keep him through several coaches because he just delivered so many players. Like, the players loved him, and he was just a recruiting monster. And I'm like, how? This guy's impossible to understand.
Yeah, the parents, could they possibly understand when he's in the living room? Yeah, I want to take your girl. Oh, okay. I think he promised you a truck, so we should sign
it. Yeah, definitely. Well, it turns out, Ed, that this contribution didn't come from anywhere in Louisiana at all.
This contribution
came from a bar owner in Minneapolis, of all places.
What?
Club Jaeger owner Julius DeRoma donated $500 to the former Imperial Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan Senate bid. A newspaper reported this donation on Tuesday, and by Thursday, the dude's bar was shut down because the workers were like, oh, fuck this. I'm not working here anymore. No. They reached him for comment, and he said, it's just basically free speech. Well, whatever, he continued when asked about those who were offended by his donation. What do you expect? It's basically something that has blown up beyond what it should be. Ed. Just Julius realized that the freedoms he employs to donate to a former KKK Grand Wizard and current plastic surgery disaster David Duke are the same freedoms that his employees use to choose not to work for a cunt.
My God, the way people misunderstand freedom of speech,
right,
is insane.
Yeah.
And even if you are the biggest racist piece of shit on earth, just looking at David Duke's eyebrows, he's the scariest dude, not just what's coming out of his mouth, the scariest dude, like, just to look at. He looks like Jocelyn Wildenstein. Like, he's so freaky looking.
Yes, the cat lady.
Yeah.
He looks like Joan Rivers today.
Like, decomposing, but like there's so much shit in the face that you can't quite tell what's going on.
Still kind of hanging in there. There's a certain kind of racism. There's the kind of racism where your great grandparents grew up in the Depression and they still don't know that it's not okay to use the word colored.
That's right.
And then there's the kind of racism where you're kicking it running a thriving nightclub operation in Minneapolis of all places. And you're like, you know what I need to do today? I need to find a way to help out David Duke.
And aside from our president, everyone has known who he was for years.
Yes.
Right? Like, everyone knows he's a outright racist, former Grand Wizard. Like, he's a documented terrible human being.
Oh, yeah. Remember when Bob Dole was running for president? And they're like, hey, Bob Dole, what do you think? This David Duke wants to support you. And Bob Dole's like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Like, no, thank you. I don't want his support. Because
he fought guys like David Duke.
Yes. Fuck David Duke. Get the fuck out of here with your support. Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. That's what a real human being is supposed to do. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Ed, this week, if you're having a little trouble scoring meth, you can blame those buzzkills at the DEA because they busted a Mexican cartel operation that was smuggling meth into the New York, New Jersey area in candles shaped like dicks.
There goes my weekend.
Totally. An undercover DEA agent initially arranged the delivery of dick candles after meeting with one of the attempted smugglers, Augustin Zamora Vega, at a hotel, posing as a potential buyer and promising to find a safe spot to store the goods. Hey, I got a place for your dicks, okay? Bring your dicks over. Well, I got a spot for your meth dicks. They looked at a place. They couldn't find the right place. So eventually they settled on a New Jersey warehouse and put the plan in motion. And Ed, that's where the bust eventually went down. Seeing as how neither of us do meth, I'm still sort of interested. Where can I find some amphetamine-free dick candles?
Hey. Oh, come on. Every bachelorette party. They got the dick hats.
Dick straws.
God forbid you're at a comedy club and a bachelorette party shows up.
Worst.
They just ruin it. Worst. I was thinking, you know, as you're telling this story, what a bummer of a habit, because I love pizza. I love cheeseburgers. I love beer. But if they said, like, I'm sorry, this weekend, the only way you can get it is if you have to consume it out of like a turgid meat whistle. No. I'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to wait till next weekend until I can find a different version of that. Cause like, I don't love it that much, but they can do it with meth because like people will take it any way they can get it.
Yeah.
And that's the sadness of it all.
I remember like when I was a kid seeing like you'd have to go to a head shop to get like a pipe for your weed and they'd have like dick bongs and stuff. And I was like, well, who the fuck is smoking weed out of this? Like, this is pretty much exclusively a dude-centric activity here. And no guy I know is going to offer you a bong hit out of a 10-inch cock bong. I mean, just...
Yeah, but does it... There? Do gay guys really like... I mean, yeah, it seems like...
I think they do. Yeah, I mean...
I mean, you should see some of these when you walk by some of the windows in the West Village.
Oh, yeah.
There's some freaky equipment and outfits.
Super gay. Well, the thing is that gay guys, they're both dudes. They're all dudes.
Yeah, why play games?
Right, and dudes are pretty horny, and they don't have to, like, pretend like chicks. You don't really have to work for it, I would imagine. Like, they're just ready to go. They'd like to swing by Rain City Jack, Seattle's premier masturbation club.
Yeah.
And just meet some. They just get naked. They get their dicks out and they just start jerking their dicks. And that's how they meet other dudes. So, and that's like the start. That's like the beginning. And then they just only ramp it up from there. And, you know, who knows what levels of depravity these guys can get to. But good for them. Yeah.
But it's all, yeah. But I'm guessing that it's not just gay guys who would be buying those. Dick candle meth. No. They would just they just take it however they can get it, and that's the bummer.
Yeah, that's true. That is a bummer because you gotta get dick meth. Like if you really need your meth, you're gonna do some dick meth.
If you're hetero, you're gonna pretend phallic shaped foods are not. Like you're gonna put a hot dog in a bun.
Yeah.
You have a sausage on a plate, you're going to chop it up. You're not just going to take the thing and hold it and put it in your mouth like that.
Well, just ask current energy secretary and former governor of Texas.
Yeah.
He one time was eating a very large corn dog and the picture went viral and I bet he regrets that. I bet he's kind of like, you know what?
More, you know, he probably regrets that way more than the name of his ranch. That would have...
Niggerhead.
Yeah, that David Duke would have approved.
He eventually changed the name, but he owned it for quite a while before changing the name.
It's not like he bought it and was like, first thing to go is that name. No.
I'd be like...
his ranch.
there's a lot of ranches in Texas. Like Texas is like mostly private land, loads of ranches. And I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to be running for governor. Like I have some aspirations here. It's probably not going to look good for me down the road to own a place called Niggerhead. And also, why is it called that?
Well, but this is this brain of the same guy who is the energy secretary. And so if you thought you might be in the running for a White House spot, would you compete on Dancing with the Stars?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. No. Okay, Ed.
Yeah.
Joining us now, it's our very own pop culture correspondent, somebody that we did some bonus content with last week, and she was very funny.
But she was
alas, the audio was butchered by yours truly. This week, we will not have such an issue with our Patreon content.
You know, after the show blows up, yes, they're going to find this, the unearthed tapes. Yes. People are going to be clamoring for that. Like, we've just increased our value there.
The problem is I throw all that stuff in the recycle bin, but I should save it like when they found Bob Dylan's basement tapes, or like everybody's got basement tapes.
That's like our basement tape.
A new Jimi Hendrix album comes out like every 6 or 7 years, and you're like, wait, guy died in 1972. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, no more losing.
And with Hendrix, maybe you should have stopped in 72.
No more losing.
Like, he wasn't feeling so well this day.
Yeah, they're not. It's not the best stuff. Thank you for joining us, Kate. You were saying Fancy Sauce is with us.
Everybody. No more losing my audio. That's what I was trying to get out.
That's right. I will not.
It's pretty sexist.
I know. It was really lame of me because you were extra good on that bonus content.
I just want to get into pet peeves for a second before I get into the news.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So today I showed up in my yoga class.
Yes.
And I rolled out my mat.
Yeah.
I actually like to double mat.
Oh, you're a double matter, huh?
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I use two.
She stacks one on top of the other.
Anyway, so there were...
Understandable.
There were people set up to the left of me, my mat.
Yeah.
And to the right, wide open.
Yeah.
This lady comes in, unrolls her mat.
In between.
How big is this? I'm holding my hands up.
She's holding her hands about 18 inches apart.
She unrolls her mat. Okay. She sets up her mat 18 inches next to me, apart from me.
Yes. But meanwhile, the room,
she has a lot.
The
she
room
could,
was wide open.
Right.
Kate, so, you know what you just did?
What?
You lived like a guy with a line of urinals.
Yes.
We have like, these problems all the time.
I get often so claustrophobic, and I'm always like, what the fuck goes through people's minds that invade your space like this? So I stood there, and I just kind of like looked at her mat, just stared at it.
Oh, yes, you're so and confrontational.
And so she like was getting her blocks and her...
Yeah, she's like getting all
you
set
know, her
up.
Her blanket and her strap. And I'm just
you
like...
She should feel uncomfortable.
And I'm like mumbling under my breath, like, what is wrong with people?
Yeah.
Like, what... Yeah. And I was going to say, you know what? Why don't you move over a little bit so that when we inevitably
roll
to the side and you know, do stretches on the laying on our backs.
Warrior one.
We're not intertwining our legs.
Warrior two.
Anyway, before I could get that out, someone came and I was like, fuck, and they kind of like closed up the gap. So I made a big deal of moving my mat to the left and saying to the guy to the left of me, I'm just going to move a little bit closer to you.
If you don't mind.
So that we all have room.
Yeah, that's good.
And then I looked right at her.
Oh.
And then there was some other, like,
oh, no,
bullshit going on with mats in the back of the class.
Yeah.
And the teacher, she walks up to the run. And she's like, you know what? I think I just want to, I'm just going to talk a little bit about yoga etiquette.
Yes, that's good.
And
was
I
it,
said.
Was it Nigel?
No, her name's Odd. Audrey.
Yeah.
I said.
How's she put together? How's Audrey looking?
She's really pretty.
Yoga fit?
Yeah. And I said.
What about up top?
Oh, no.
She's probably flexible now.
Oh, sure. She has some yoga pants on?
Yes, babe. Nice people, ass. Yoga teachers typically wear yoga pants. Nice anyway, she said, I'm going to, like, I want to talk about
more
yoga
importantly,
etiquette.
What does Nigel look like?
And I said to her.
You'd like her.
I just replied. Good idea.
Yeah, that is good.
And then the lady next to me was staring at me like, do you want to go?
Oh,
and I wouldn't look at her because...
Oh, yoga fight.
Yes. Brutal.
Anyway, that's what happened.
Sometimes, and I don't know why all yoga studios don't have this. Some yoga studios that I've been to in the past have lines painted on the floor. So you just go to a line and you drop your mat on top of the line. So the line bisects your mat. And then the next person comes and they drop theirs on the line.
It sorts it out for everyone's the same
distance apart.
But can't figure out that you don't need to like be on top of somebody else.
Yes.
That makes sense because people in general struggle with figuring life out. So just give them a few guidelines.
It's not so simple.
It's not intrusive. Just, hey, here's where we should be.
People don't want to have to think. Give them a reason not to think.
So if you go into a parking lot where there aren't lines, like, you know, it's a six.
Mess.
People fuck it
mess.
Up.
It would be a disaster.
Huge mess. Massive, massive mess. Okay. Quickly, let's read some email.
Yeah, let's read it.
Ballers. Oh, sore subject here.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Please tell
me. Don't act like you don't haven't read it.
Please, well, I'm just read it now. I've read the first sentence.
If this is a mean email to me,
it's not mean.
Fuck off.
Please tell us you found Fancy's turtle alive and well.
Oh, no.
In somebody's lettuce patch, fucking the shit out of their little turtle or even their small dog. America needs good news.
Well, you've come to the wrong place.
We fear Luigi,
aka Louie.
We feel the turtle fell victim to a bird of prey.
That's the only. That's the only.
Because there's no sign of it anywhere.
Plausible explanation that Brian and I can come up with.
We don't have a very big yard.
We don't have a
big
yard.
Maybe it was the ghost that knocked Kate's computer off the table.
It's not Ed. What are you doing?
I hadn't thought about that.
What are you doing? Oh my God.
I'm sorry. That had not occurred to me.
We have a lot of wildlife here. We back up to a big open space area. And so at night, you will get coyotes, bobcats, snakes, all sorts of shit. Giant raccoons. But that's more night activity. This took place
during the day. And it makes me think that it was a bird.
We have owls. We have all sorts of night killers. And I feel like
a real asshole because... Yeah. The person who gifted me the tortoise for our daughter, she did say...
Hopefully she doesn't listen to this podcast.
Well, Kylie, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
She did say, don't leave him outside because of a bird will get him.
And then you did what?
And then I let him outside and a bird got him. But
probably.
And in my feeble excuse, I did...
He could have run off.
The doors were open. And I was... I was keeping an eye on him, and I just feel like, a bird swooped into our tiny backyard, and I didn't.
Isn't that what the shell's for?
Fucking
yes.
Get inside the shell. He would have protection. You've got a shield.
I have not given up.
It's a great mystery.
I feel like he may just be hunkered down somewhere that we just don't see him.
Well, you have not looked lately.
I've looked a lot.
Not since.
Well, those things are known to be fast, so they could be anywhere.
That's true. That's true. Yes.
You'd be surprised how fast it is.
Seeing as it's been a week or more, like he could be to Mexico by now.
Anyway, look, I'm in talks with a pet store in San Diego.
No.
Yes. Oh, it's happening.
Oh, my God.
To get...
But the last turtle was free.
Another...
When you say pet store, that implies commerce.
I do have to buy it to get another tortoise, but I'm going to get a different breed of tortoise because I researched the breed that I had, and it grows a little larger than I had. It
comes good money after bad money.
I have planned on.
Stop. Yes.
No, Brian's going to help me build an outdoor enclosure
Do I look like I can build things?
No, you don't. But you're going to do find a YouTube how-to video.
This is my favorite subject.
Okay.
We'll do an Insta story of building the tortoise enclosure.
The email continues.
My kids don't even want a pet.
No.
It's really for me.
The email continues.
Okay.
One positive takeaway from Hurricane Harvey is heroic rescues of people and animals.
True.
All these years I've been trying to give Texas back to Mexico, make instant Mexicans out of those fat oil barons. My heart is out to those who are suffering, but I still like my plan to revitalize Mexico's economy. That is from Andy in Denver.
I think Andy watched a little too much J.R. Ewing. He thinks everybody's an oil baron.
So good. That's a very good email, Andy. Thank you for that.
I was reading about oil baron J. Paul Getty.
Oh, yeah.
Dude like made all his money in a couple years out of school. And he's like, all right, I'm going to California and just have lots of sex and have huge estate. And he was still cheap, and he had a payphone in his house.
He was rich as fuck.
That was my plan.
And he was so rich that his whole family is still rich as fuck. All of them.
He picked up and left when he was like 24 or something.
Yeah.
Like, he had made his money. He was like, all right, I'm good.
Did they base that, There Will Be Blood? Wasn't that based on him?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
That's a good movie.
I could have just made that up.
That's a great movie.
He had a grandson that was kidnapped, and they fucking cut off the kid's ear or something.
Yeah, because he started talking him down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was negotiating down. Yes. He's like, no, well, let's see.
They're making a movie about that. I believe we talked about this the other week, how there were two Prefontaine movies at the same time. There were two asteroid
movies.
There was Vice Versa, and then the other one with Judd.
Like Father, Like Son.
Judge Reinhold. Judge as a name. It's kind of badass. There's two movies coming out about the Getty kidnapping. It's my understanding. One might be a TV show.
What is that? There's a leak from one studio, and then they're like, we need a competing movie.
Truman Show, Ed TV. They do it all the time. I just want to
say, I had a friend, I'm not going to say her name, but she was from a Hollywood family.
Yeah.
She was kidnapped when she was a toddler.
Yes,
for ransom.
Yeah. And does she have both of her ears?
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was also a movie made about her, not her life, but her family life.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It's called... Yeah. Poison Ivy with Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
Based on her actual home situation.
Can I play the dropping names sound, even though you have not dropped any names?
I'm not going to drop the name.
Okay.
I don't think she wants her name.
No. Good luck to the Gettys. Okay.
Well, they need it.
they need it.
Another email. Hi, Bred. That's Brian plus Ed. B-R-E-D.
Oh, that's pretty tight.
Yeah, that's pretty sick. Hi, Bred. I'm dating a Jewish girl. It is going great, but things are not, quote, kosher.
I knew he was going to say kosher.
In certain areas. What am I supposed to do when it is time to return the favor? Thanks. That is from our friend Perry in Westwood. There's not a lot of detail here, although I couldn't have sex with someone
that didn't have like adequate hygiene for me. It would just be a deal breaker.
I'm going to infer that that's what he's talking about, that there's a pH situation.
Just be like in her
genital area. But my question is this.
She's probably not even aware.
What does that have to do with her being Jewish? Ed?
That's a good point.
Your wife is Jewish, and I'm just going to assume that her genitals are pristine.
Beautiful.
Yes, of course. So I don't know that those two things are related. I think he did that so he should drop that kosher in there, like he wanted to get a joke in.
Well, you don't get points for dating a Jewish lady.
Yes.
But, like, you know, well done.
No, good for you.
B, she's probably not aware, and that sucks.
Yes.
And it probably has something to do with... I don't know.
It's pH. She could have an infection.
It could be so many things.
Yes, it could be diet. Yes.
But, you know, if you want to keep
having
relations with this lady.
Yes.
I was thinking he was just going in a different direction. I thought he wanted to talk about being with a Jewish girl, which...
Yeah,
I can relate to. I got nothing to add to this.
I just can't imagine being intimate with someone and there being certain places on the body that are off limits. That's not going to work.
Me either.
For me, at least.
No, me either.
So
it does not work for me. I like full access.
Yeah, and you can't say anything to her because that's
all of the real estate.
She's going to be really mortified.
Like, I don't want
to. That's going to be something she'll need to have therapy about.
I don't want
to
run into
the
any,
time like, that a guy told
no
her that
trespassing signs
her, or you know,
no trespassing smells.
Pussy was Smelled not great.
I have very limited experience with this. I have not run into an unhealthy vagina in quite a long time. But I do recall that situation as a younger man, and I would just like stay, you know, I just would kind of stay away from down there. In this situation, Perry, I assume you are an adult. You're not a 16-year-old Brian Beckner just trying to get in where you fit in. And it sounds like you really like this girl. You're saying it's plainly state it is going great. And that is not something that a lot of dudes say in a lot of relationships.
That's true.
So this is a situation where you should probably, if this is a relationship you want to have and everything else about her is good, you got to have a hard discussion, because it's not, if she knew her genital situation was not pristine, I prefer them to be pristine, completely pristine. Like,
and is perfect. It just, have you tried on a few occasions? Is it like a certain time of the month?
It could, maybe yes, near her, it could be a passing situation. Might just be an infection.
And have you had this problem before? Like, could this be something that is about you?
She could be allergic to your sperm.
No, I'm just saying, like, have there been more girls that he's had this feeling?
Are the condoms off? Is that what's going on?
Okay.
Perry, you leave us hanging a little bit on the details, but my suggestion to you would be to have a frank discussion with her, and she will ultimately appreciate that.
Hopefully. But you need to be delicate. Don't come at it like, hey, yo,
you might need maybe to employ some experts on this.
Yeah.
One.
Have you douched lately?
No, you don't need to douche.
No one needs to douche. It's not a real thing.
Healthy, you need to be real delicate with this conversation.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. There's a way to handle it. But please let us know how it goes, Perry.
Make sure.
Because I want this to work for you.
Hopefully it's nothing major, like she forgot. And I'm pretty sure the Jewish thing
had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I don't think the Jewish thing's an issue. Just find out what's going on down there and let us know, because I want to know. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in Fancy Pop?
Well, I just read about an unlikely roommate situation from the past.
Mm. Oh.
But R-Pats, Robert Pattinson, Twilight.
Pattinson?
How old is he?
I don't know.
I feel like these 30? Twilight movies have been going on forever.
Well,
I
mean,
they're not anymore, but.
Yes.
No, but like that's how everyone knows
he's
him.
Been in his 30s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so.
He looks
I saw a good recommendation for a movie that he was in, but I was like, Twilight guy? Do I need to
right.
see this?
He's like a bank robber or something?
Yeah, it seemed like a crime movie, but yeah. I don't know. I struggle with the fact that it's the Twilight guy.
Yeah, it's called Good Time, and he gets rave reviews.
I shy away from any Pattinson-related content. He just seems like such a bore.
I did see the trailer for that. It seems pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'd be in. Anyway, like, take a guess. When he first came to L.A., who was his roommate for a short period at the none other than the very classy
Oakwood Burbank.
Oakwood apartment.
Ed guesses Channing Tatum.
They're similar.
Yes.
Fame age. I don't know about actual age, but like they've been famous about the same amount.
I will go off the board and I will say Ralphie May.
I'm going to give you guys, you're both wrong, but I'm going to give you some hints.
Okay.
Parole violation. Sex tape, barroom stabbing. Is there anyone that
stabbing?
That ring a bell?
Talking about Screech.
None other than Dustin Diamond.
The only barroom stabbing I know.
Screech.
Yeah, they were roommates for a short time.
Wow. And to think that at the time, Screech was probably high on the hog. He was like living the LA life. Like, he was probably doing the college years at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, but his star was
twice his age. What is he, 25?
His star was on the rise. I would say Screech is probably about 40, right?
Yeah, he's probably like a bit older.
Dustin Diamond.
So they used to like
make. I'm going to say 45.
They used to heat up some Hot Pockets together.
Yeah. Do you think they ever finger cuffed anybody? A woman.
I don't know
spit roast.
I don't know what that is.
You think they ever shared a had a threesome? Okay.
I hope not.
Dustin Neil Diamond. He's made that up, right? His real middle name. Well, his real last name can't possibly be Diamond. And I'm guessing that Neil is not his middle name. American actor, musician, director. Calm down. And stand-up comedian. Come on.
No, no.
January 7th. 1977, 40 what? Years old, Dustin Diamond.
Yeah, that's about I'm what older I would have thought.
Screech? Yeah. Yep, you're older than Screech. Robert Pattinson is, May 13th, 1986, age 31, 9 year age gap.
And he hasn't had a roommate in 10 years.
Yeah, he was, fresh off the boat, Ed. Well, good for that.
So he was like living with a 35-year-old dude. That must have been weird.
Yeah.
What was Screech doing?
I wonder how they like hooked up. Did he need the money
back then?
Screech had been on network for a while at that point. Why was he still in the Oakwood?
I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. What else is going on, Kate?
I got some Kid Rock news for you.
Bob Ritchie.
I know you were like,
Bob Ritchie.
Wondering what Bob was up to. Yes, let me tell you.
He's running for Senate.
Yeah. KidRockForSenate.com. You might want to check that out.
Well, how can you? But his name isn't Kid Rock.
That's why some people are Kid saying Rock that for it's Senate. Fake. So apparently, a journalist found out that the website was registered to Warner Brothers Records, which led to accusations that Kid was just using the idea of running for office as a way to sell T-shirts and caps that say Kid Rock for U.S. Senate.
He's trying to sell a box. He's trying to move merch. It's all about merch these days.
So the fact that he hadn't registered with the Federal Election Commission kind of led to further speculation that the idea is all a big marketing ploy.
Imagine the kind of maniac. And I might just get one now. Imagine
maybe he should.
Imagine the kind of maniac that would leave the house in a fucking Kid Rock for President T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like immediate watch list.
Immediate.
Because you don't know what that person's capable
of. So anyway, like the story, plot thickens. So now one of the most prominent watchdog groups in Washington says that the website's legitimacy doesn't matter. According to campaign finance law, someone becomes a candidate when they either announce their candidacy or collect $5,000. Yeah. So we don't know how much Bob Ritchie has made slinging swag on his new site. Mm-hmm.
Wait, you can't say for Senate, you can't make money on like,
Not
you can't say Mickey Mouse for Senate or whatever and sell t-shirts like, once you make a certain amount, then it's binding?
Yes, yeah, I believe so.
Once you collect
and he's also, if you go, I'm going to read you.
Website. Please do.
It's supposed to, sound like it's real.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the one line that was pretty good.
Is it like, bow at a bar, da bang bang.
One thing I'm is for sure, president. Though, Senate. The Democrats.
My name is Senate Rock.
What is it? Read to us from his website, please.
I mean, after a couple of paragraphs, it says one thing is for sure, though, the Democrats are shatting in their pantaloons right now.
Oh my fucking God.
We will be scheduling a press conference in the next six weeks or so to address this issue, among others. Some issue about voter registration that he says he's going to champion.
You know, I hate all excrement related humor, and I really hate the word the past tense of shit.
Yeah, shat.
Shat. I hate it. Can't you just? I just use shit as the past tense.
So
not
anyway.
Shat.
Regardless of whether he's only exploring candidacy, he's selling Kid Rock for Senate merch and is a candidate under the law. It says campaign finance law 101.
Yeah, fucking A.
So he's already
better think
in
about
trouble.
It, Kid. Your name is Kid.
Yeah.
So and that's another problem with rappers. We were talking about names last week. You shouldn't do Lil or Kid or something because eventually you're fucking 50-year-old Bob Ritchie.
Yeah, Bob Ritchie's 50.
Yeah, or baby.
Ish. Yeah, or baby. Baby. Kenneth Babyface Edmonds.
Yeah.
He does have a baby face.
He does have a baby face. Also, Kid Rock's brand is expanding from music to politics to the restaurant industry.
Oh, good news.
Is he partnering with my guy, He's bringing, Fieri?
Let's see.
Because I could change my tune on Kid Rock pretty quickly.
That's right. Donkey sauce on a kid burger.
Yeah.
Not only will he be opening the new Little Caesars Arena in Detroit this September string of six concerts, he'll also be, debuting his Made in Detroit restaurant at the venue.
Fuck yeah.
He's bringing a 5,800 square foot, 230 seat eating establishment to downtown Detroit.
Fucking A is.
Yeah. Offering.
Can you imagine? There are enough people in the world eating Little Caesars that they can build an arena. No, they can have ownership of an arena.
I was just thinking of that because I believe at Little Caesars, like two pizzas are $5 or something. Like it's ridiculous.
The last time I ate it was in high school.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you just don't have money. And you're like, all right, I guess I'll just I'll get Little Caesars. And spend as little money, like four guys together, chip in a dollar, and you can have two pizzas.
Yeah. I've never had Little Caesars.
When I was in high school, my buddy Jeff worked at Little Caesars, and then he would call in sick. He'd be like, "Hey, look, I'm not coming in today. I'm sick." And then we'd get stoned and we'd get hungry, and he'd be like, "Dude, you want me to go over to Little Caesars and get us a pizza?" And then he would go there. And we would all give him a buck.
On his sick day.
He would go there, despite the fact that he had just called in sick, and pick up two pizzas and bring it back to us. That was my last experience.
I think what's really going to make Made in Detroit cool, though, is all the Kid Rock memorabilia that will adorn the walls.
That's what I'm talking about.
And local artists will get to use the restaurant's live music stage to perform.
Fuck yeah, they will.
Yeah.
In
patron of the arts.
And by local artists, of course, he means Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope.
I hope so.
That's right.
The fucking, what are they called?
Maybe NSYNC. Vanilla Ice when it comes to town.
NSYNC Clown Posse. What up? Okay, what else is going on, Kate?
Coldplay.
Oof.
Unleashed a man-made disaster. Not in response an artist. To Hurricane Harvey. A song called Houston.
Did Chris Martin have to find another, did he have to surgically get another finger transplanted onto him so that he could get another layer of tape to support yet another cause? Because his fingers are covered with Sharpie and different colored tapes.
Are they?
What
about all the...
Because he supports so many causes.
What do you call those bracelets that he wears?
He probably wears those too.
No, he...
Like the Lance Armstrong ones? The silicon ones?
He has loads of them.
Yeah. Beads? Does he do beads?
I'm going to read you some lines. And it's like it's like country Coldplay.
Ed, don't be
gross. He's doing like a country.
Oh, no.
We should play a little bit.
No. I'm not set up for that. Also, we haven't paid the rights.
I'm going to read you some
lyrics
just of this one.
I'm sure it's profound as hell.
I'm dreaming of when I get back to Houston. I'm dreaming of that very special place. I'm dreaming of when Houston has no problems in that city where they send you into space. I'm dreaming of when I get back to Texas. Corpus Christi, Harris County, Galveston.
Oh, he's just name dropping.
There's a harmony that bonds down there in Houston. Oh, Houston, you got to keep on keeping
on. He's never spent any time there except to when
he's
been there to play a show. Get back there. He's never been to Corpus Christi or Baytown.
No.
Come on.
I think they had to cancel a concert there.
The only lazier lyrics are the lyrics to the theme song for Small Wonder. She's fantastic, made of plastic. That's what I can remember from that one.
She was amazing. I believe the Small Wonder Kid.
I think we'll post that video on the Facebook page.
I believe so you guys can see. The Small Wonder brother, not Vicky.
Jamie. He's a real piece of shit.
Jamie. I believe he went.
Who?
I believe he went to high school with our friend of the show, Travis Rogers. And I believe he did not have an easy time.
He was not cool.
No, at Arcadia High School. It's next time Travis Rogers on the show, we'll have to ask him about that. Okay, Kate, what else?
Did you guys talk about J.J. Watt's relief fund for Houston?
Yeah, we did a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it started off with a $200,000 goal a little over a week ago, and it's up to $20 million.
Amazing.
Something.
Amazing.
Miley Cyrus gave $500,000, Drake $200,000, Chris Paul $75,000.
Yeah,
those
awesome.
Are some big donations.
Amazing. Yes.
So he's all
tremendous.
He's also got a real heartfelt thank you video.
Yeah,
which we might post too.
He's a great dude, but he's a big dude, and I would never want to be cornered by him in any type of enclosed area.
Let's hope he doesn't listen to the podcast like and some of the shit you've talked
like
about,
Like a harbor area bathroom stall or any, like a off a freeway exit rest stop. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
All right. Lil Wayne has been in the hospital again. So a while ago, we talked about Lil Wayne having to, he was in a plane that had to have an emergency landing because he was having seizures.
He's on that lean.
Which is definitely because he likes to sip lean.
Yeah. He's on that lean.
Tell people what lean is again.
It's codeine cough syrup.
Makes it. I think people even mix other stuff in and out too.
It's like, I like Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
I do too.
But there's not going to be the element of surprise when the news breaks.
Not like when Prince died, even though he'd had like
a reported
overdose like a couple weeks before where they had to land a plane for him.
But yeah, you don't really know what's going on. No. Michael Jackson was not a surprise. I remember when people were like, can you believe he died? It's like, he's been dying for like 30 years.
Oh, yeah. At least Lil Wayne
is not going to be a surprise.
Knowing that he hit the career goal of having the theme song of Ballers.
Yeah. Has he been on Ballers? Because I would like that.
I don't think so.
Well, let's see if we can get him on there.
There was another rapper, Travis, was on.
You really do watch that show?
Yeah
we watch it. Ballers. So it's so...
Oh, it's Ed, it's beyond terrible.
You
it's so bad.
Ed, it's so bad.
But
I watched like half of the first episode. I was like, oh, this is Entourage.
Awful. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's better than Entourage because it's got The Rock, but it's just as bad. It's just as bad in every other sense.
No, it's got like a few way better actors. It's got Richard
Schiff. Yes.
It's got
Rob Corddry.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I mean, it's a terrible show, but it's like a throwaway show.
Yeah.
You just have it on.
Anyway, so
there's sometimes titties on it.
Yeah.
It
so seizures
goes
forced
a long way in my book.
A lot of titties all the time. Yeah. Seizures forced Lil Wayne into hospital Sunday. Apparently, he was getting no sleep. So he's been overdoing it.
Likes to record
and going to a show and then going to the studio and not sleeping. So he needs 2 weeks to recover. Yeah. So thoughts and prayers.
Get off that lean, Wayne.
Lil Wayne.
Yeah. Is that it, Kate? Purple drank.
I got a couple more. I got one more thing. Okay. So the Usher accuser, Quantasia Sharpton.
One of my favorite stories.
She's claiming she filmed she and Usher having sex in that hotel on the night that Usher allegedly gave her
Did she conceal the camera in one of her roles?
She claims the singer knew he was being recorded.
Oh, he probably liked it.
What's the name? I gotta look her up.
Quantasia.
Disney film.
Usher's denied that he said he couldn't have been there because he was too busy falling in love with his now wife. Plus, Quantasia is not his type.
Is he? No. Yeah, because she weighs 400 pounds.
Is what he claims.
Is he not married to Chili?
I think they broke up and then he married some other
woman
who seems older.
What's TLC stand for? Tony Left Eye Chili.
That's right.
Is Tony the first one?
I'm not sure.
Me either.
Who's Tony?
In TLC?
It's not Tony.
Who are the three TLC people? Tony?
T-Boz.
T-Boz. I knew that.
I knew that too.
I don't know.
So sad around here.
T-Boz.
Anyway,
Left Eye.
Quantasia has a super high-powered attorney, Lisa Bloom, who's going to, she's attempting to subpoena hotel surveillance
she's
video.
She's a TV attorney. She's a shakedown attorney.
Right. But she's high-powered in her own way.
Yeah. No, she is. She gets you on TV.
She claims that this surveillance video shows Usher going into Quantasia's hotel room.
But it doesn't show him going into Quantasia,
apparently Quantasia has a video showing that.
Quantasia's breast weight?
100 pounds each. Easy.
Like you know how people say, oh, they look like bowling balls? Like they actually look like bowling balls.
We're not here to body shame, but she's huge.
No.
She's massive.
I'm just talking about the size of her breasts. I'm not talking about the rest of her.
Yeah.
Brian and I drove back from the Bay Area yesterday.
The Yay.
And we saw a lot of burners.
Oh, yeah.
AKA people leaving Burning Man with their vehicles covered in like thick white dust with all their bikes with their glitter and streamers on their bike handles.
Everybody's vehicle was covered with fucking sand, like white sand. And I'm thinking to myself, Well, that means the people have that shit all over them, too.
Well, I'm looking at pictures from Burning Man, and no one looks like they are covered in sand. Well, Paris Hilton was there.
Well, guess
where
what?
Where is Burning Man?
Burning Man is Red Rock City, which is like...
It's like outside of Reno, isn't yeah. it? Like in the desert in Nevada. Yeah. But I will say this. Fuck camping. Fuck Burning Man. Fuck anything camping related. Fuck anything Burning Man related.
It's just fuck a music festival, right?
It's like no, it's like a hippie thing, but it's like nerd.
There's
hippies.
Mostly just DJs.
Yeah.
And drugs, yes. And you ride bikes around. It's like and a little. Barter. It's like a little village.
There was an episode, one of the later episodes in 90210. I think they went there.
Oh, Dylan, really?
That crummy guy Matt.
And you make fun like of me for
big,
watching.
It's
ballers.
A big thing now. And then on the last,
I said we're all into weird shit.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not a Burning Man expert, but I believe what happens is on the last day they burn the Burning Man.
They do, yeah. And some guy, is that what you're about to say?
Yes,
yeah.
And a guy ran into the Burning Man flames.
Yes, they burn an effigy.
And killed himself.
And it's massive.
Huge.
He took it he took it literally.
Yes, he did, yes. Burning, burning me.
Right. He anyway. Had...
I'll be that man.
Yeah.
He had taken a lot of liquid acid.
Oh, had he?
I don't know.
Oh.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at clicking through pictures, and it looks very like a lot of models and not very much clothes.
Seems like a bad way to go.
Well, I'd be into that. Oh, burning to death?
That's yeah, I'm going to put that pretty low on my desires.
Pretty low.
And that's like the lowest on me.
Yes,
mine.
Yeah. Burning to death.
If you drown me any day of the week.
Yeah.
I do
me
not
too.
Want to go on fire.
Drown me.
Drowning seems like a real bummer, too.
No, here's how I want. Faster. Here's how I want to go. I want to drown. In titties. I want to be suffocated and drowned by big, beautiful breasts. That's how I want to go.
Okay, well, we're devolving into...
We're evolving.
Some other
We're doing
place.
Our own Burning Man here.
That's it. That's my wrap-up of the news.
Oh, my God. So good. Kate McManus.
Everyone go to kidrockforsenate.com
yes,
and check that
buy
out.
Buy me a shirt.
I mean, it's not real, but who knows? Like, it could become real.
That's the fanny pack of shirts.
It's real to me, goddammit.
Right.
That we talked about great YouTube clips. That's got to be top five.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's real to me, damn it.
He's crying about wrestling. That's worse than having a wrestling belt-themed fanny pack. Much worse. Being virally...
Oh, I think I have a
linked.
I think I have a
wrestling
Patreon.
Tears. Oh,
every day I open up Instagram and I half expect to see like a cockatiel on your shoulder. We're getting there with
no,
you.
No, what are you talking about?
I want to shout out
gondolier hat, fanny pack. Like we're getting close.
What's a gondolier?
You're almost
hat?
In cockatiel boa territory.
Snake. Yes, Kate.
I want to shout out to our newest Patreon.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Family.
Yes.
Subscriber.
Okay.
Ryan Osanka Cruz.
Oh, he's an emailer. He's a good dude.
Very cool, dude.
Thank you,
good
Ryan.
Dude.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thanks for going out of your way.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Excellent job all the
and
way around. Oh.
Everyone yes. should be giving money to Harvey.
Yes, Hurricane Harvey.
Right.
Then later you should come back to giving money
Ed,
to
Ed echoed
show.
Those same sentiments last week.
Just
it's the whole Steve Martin on SNL thing.
Yeah.
You know, number one wish to all the children of the world. But if I could have two wishes.
Yes.
It's a 30-day orgasm. And then all the children of the world.
Right.
The hold hand.
Okay. Excellent job all the way around. We love you guys.
Yeah, we do.
For Kate McManus, for
thanks,
Ed
everyone.
Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 185
wow.
of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast.
Jesus.
We will see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.